AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hey, I'm George Massey. Welcome to the George Massey Show. We're going to talk some 90 Fiancé tonight. Kara will be here. So we got episode 4 of 90 Fiancé, the OG season. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. I got some notes. I hope everybody watched. Kara's going to join us in a sec. So we're going to unpack this episode. So let's get Kara in here. Oh, she's already here. Kara's already here. Shelly's here. Hey, Shelly. Episode 4. We're 4 episodes in. I was a little surprised at how far along we are in the season, but we're episode 4. Howdy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It was unexpectedly hot today. We weren't expecting it. It was almost like 90 degrees, so it's a little...
Not here. I'm literally wrapped in my electric blanket.
Yeah. It came out of nowhere. It wasn't that bad yesterday, but it's really, really, really hot today. So, yeah. So and it's funny because we're going to be talking about showers tonight. And I think it's a good segue because Lucille, who is Gregory's mother, is upset at the number of showers that Joan is taking. And it's funny because in Florida, I do take 2 to 3 showers a day, but only because when you leave the house for the first time, you sweat on every part of your body, like every ounce of your body, and you feel, it's not necessarily that you're dirty, you just feel dirty. So I definitely take several showers. So I wanted to get on this subject because my water bill, as that came up on the show, she was like, oh, my water bills are going to go up and blah, blah, blah. No matter how much water I use, my bill is like $40.
Yeah.
So I wanted to ask you, because I know it's different where you live, because I know when I lived in Ohio, every 3 months we got billed on quarter.
Quarterly.
We got billed on a quarter. And my bill for water was like $600. And to this day, it wasn't just water. It was water, sewer, trash. But to this day, I never question it. I'm one of those people where it's easy to just pay the bill rather than to call the number and wait on hold and do the automated service and have them come out. There probably was some sort of leak under my house or something. I don't know. But I never actually got to the bottom of it. I just kept paying it because it was easier to do that. So how much do you pay for water? I'm just curious. Is it a lot?
So now, for me, it's very different. I shower 2 or 3 times a day in the winter to stay warm. And I shower 2 or 3 times a day during the summer because I feel yucky because I sweated. But I don't have a water bill because I'm in the middle of nowhere, so I'm on a well.
Oh, you have well water. So, okay.
I can run my shit all day long and it doesn't cost me nothing.
Oh, see that's cool. Wait, okay, so Shelly says she pays $74 monthly, not quarterly in Ohio. It's not, it was for me.
When I lived in my other house in Bend, about 30 miles from here, it was city water, and it was probably $50-$60 a month.
Yeah, like, I have a sprinkler system, and in the summer, you have to use it because your grass will literally just die. So yeah. It doesn't matter how much, and then for the pool and all the stuff, it doesn't matter how much I use, my bill stays pretty consistent, but I'm in a big city, though. TJ says hers is $240 to $300. That can't be a month, TJ, is it? That seems high.
That's crazy.
Does the water have vodka in it? That seems really hot. Like,
if it does, I'm on my way.
Yeah, does the water come with, like, vodka and rum mixed in? Because I don't know. That seems really, really high. So, okay, so a lot of people tonight hate Lucille. Lucille is becoming the most hated mom in the 90 Day universe. So there was a scene tonight I Googled it in New York, it's $140 to $200 for 3 months. Oh, so she's full of shit.
Yeah.
So it's not that much. So tonight there was a scene, other than her confronting Joan about how many times she showers, which I think is crazy because she also mentioned tonight that Greg has never paid rent or has never contributed anything to the household. So the idea that Greg can be 37, not contribute in any way possible is okay. But this woman has been here for 11 seconds.
Yeah.
And now she's worried about how this is going to impact her bill. Kind of
well,
pissed me
judging
off.
Judging by the way Greg looks, he doesn't shower. So we're good there. It all evens out.
Okay. I'm trying to be really nice to Greg, but like, okay. So
why?
I.
Because he doesn't pay rent. He takes advantage of his mom. She does everything for him. And he brings the food in and turns down a state job. Yeah, good guy.
I mean, no, he's a horrible human being, right? Yeah. And what really got me was tonight when he woke up and his mom was doing the lawn, like mowing the lawn and using the weed eater and equipment. And I thought back to my childhood because my mother has two sons, me and my brother. And I was thinking back to a time where I remember my mother using a lawnmower or any lawn equipment, and I can't think of one instance. And then I thought, does my mom even know how to use a lawnmower? And then I thought back, I was like, I probably never let her.
Yeah.
And if I found out to this day that she was using one, I would be really upset. So the idea that he watches his mom do yard work, cook, clean, and pay everything, and there's no, I would first off, let's just get to the bottom of it. If I behave this way, my mother would end my life.
Yeah.
Like, let's just be realistic. If my mom had to wake up with me living in her house, eating her food, not paying her rent, and she's doing her own yard work, y'all would see me on the news and I'd be dead. She'd just kill me. It'd just be over. She wouldn't have raised someone like that, and she wouldn't allow me to continue living that way. Either that or she would literally kick me out, which I think would be the best form of tough love that I would need. But the idea that he can do this and he doesn't see anything wrong with it is, I think, what really the core of the issue is. And it's
absolutely.
Like, I don't like to come down on parents, but I feel like Lucille is like 75% the problem, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, Greg is a piece of human garbage, right? It is what it is. But Lucille has created this garbage, and she's planted this seed of garbage, and the seed of garbage is growing, and she's enabling and encouraging this garbage to continue to live in her home and exist. Because I was just thinking, if I did this to my mother, I don't even know what she would do to me. Like, if my mother had to pick up a lawnmower or a weed eater in a house where we were living, I was living, not paying anything in her house, I don't think that I would live to see another day. Right? Like, my mom, she didn't raise boys to be boys. She raised boys to be men. And men take care of their mothers, their wives, their sisters. If a woman in general, you take care of, you're never supposed to be taken care of by a woman. If you meet a woman and she wants to take care of you, you might let her, but you are still going to do your part. And I think that's what's crazy.
My parents raised me to be a good man. I took care of them. I can take care of myself. I can mow my own lawn. But I don't have to, because I have a son that I raised right. And if he saw me out there doing it, he would probably end my life being so pissed off that I did
it. Right.
Like, that is just not okay.
There's been times where I caught my mom trying to put together furniture, or she bought something really expensive or heavy and thought not to ask for help. And it really pissed me off. Yeah. For her to think that she is even responsible for doing that on her own. I was like, so you're basically saying that I don't exist, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel offended that she thought that she could do it on her own and not ask for help. And I know, you know, for a lot of women, being independent is very important. My mom has been single for, oh my gosh, 30, 40 years.
I mean, there's a lot to do with being independent, but there's also a pride thing where you don't want to have to ask your kids for help. Because even me, I'm perfectly well-bodied and capable of doing my own things. I can take care of my own things. I can go cut down a tree. I can go mow my lawn. I can change my own oil. But I don't have to. I don't have to do that.
That's true.
But if it needs done, I will do it before I will ask someone else to do it. Even if it is my child, I will just do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I respect that. I think that it's a hard place to be, because I'm all for women and having women's rights, women being able to make their own decisions. And I don't like the damsel in distress
And for me, it's not like that. It's not about equality or women's rights or anything like that. For me, it's, I know someday I'm going to need the help. I'm going to need my kids to take care of me. I know that because I took care of both of my parents. So I know that that's going to happen. So I don't want to, in my eyes, I don't want to use that up before I need to.
So let's talk about this day job, right? Because Greg made the comment tonight to both Joan and his mom that he got a state job that he turned down in civil service. And he's like, well, I just didn't want to do the job. So, Cara, I wanted to have this conversation with you. Let's talk about the jobs that we've had that we didn't want to do.
Yeah.
Because there's so many, right? And I think this generation is hung up on you should do what you love.
Yeah.
That's true. I agree that you shouldn't spend your life doing things that you don't want to do, but also life is about 90% of you doing things that you don't want to do. That's just how life is. You might get lucky in 10, 20 years down the line, find a job that you love, but I guarantee you, for most of your work history, you are doing a job that you hate. And I've spent so many years doing jobs that I hated. I've done fast food, I've worked in restaurants, I've done bakeries, I ran gas stations. I did retail management. I was a store opener for a startup where we literally went from state to state and opened hundreds and hundreds of stores on a deadline. Yeah. I slept on the floor of retail stock rooms of stores because we couldn't leave. We had a deadline. I've done jobs that I hate. So the idea that this 37-year-old man was like, well, I just don't want to work a job that I don't like. I was like, you should want to move out of your mother's house. You should want to. And, you know, and it's, I was a mama's boy. Y'all know this. I slept in the bed with my mom until I was 12. I was the biggest mama's boy you would ever meet. I was obsessed with my mom. I thought that I was going to live with her forever. But when I graduated and I was out of school and I was, I think, 18 or 19, I left. Right? But I wanted to. And I went back and visited and we would still see each other. She would cook for me, come to my house. I would go to her house, whatever. He doesn't have any want to leave. And, you know, I have to point the finger at Lucille here. Because you should want your child to want to do better.
Yes.
Right? To want to have their own.
You give them wings and you teach them how to fly. I love my kids and I want to spend all the time with my kids. But I also don't want my kids to live with me until they're freaking 80 years old. Like, you need to get up, get a job, get out on your own. My son's a manager of a company. My daughter's in veterinary medicine. Like, they're both married. My daughter's 23. She's my youngest baby. And they're out on their own. They're making a living and doing a good job. I cannot imagine saying, okay, son, you bake bread. That's what I want you to do. That's what I was hoping for you.
And deliver it with no gloves on in a Walmart plastic tote.
The Walmart plastic tote that I'm sure his mom bought.
Yeah. This whole thing, and I want to bring it back because a lot of people are they're comparing Lucille to Debbie, who is Colt's mom. Yep. Do you think that, because we don't know really what happened to Greg's dad? Yep. They didn't really focus on it. They didn't give us an explanation. And you know, we know with Miss Debbie, that was the love of her life. With Debbie, Colt's dad, he passed away early, unexpectedly. And she built this codependent relationship with Cole. So do you think that this is the type of situation where she lost her husband unexpectedly and then they built this codependency on each other? Because that's what people are saying. It reminds them a lot of what Debbie was doing with Cole. Like she.
In all honesty, I tried to put myself in her shoes. Being very real, I did. I was thinking, if I had one child and it was a boy and I lost my husband early or young, or he was all I ever knew or anything like that. So I only had this one child. I would still, I get the codependency of wanting to have the one and only person left on the planet that truly needs you, that truly loves you more than anybody ever is going to. I get that. But when that one person brings in a significant other that they're going to marry, that you more than likely co-signed for, it is time for them to pack their shit and get out. You go play some bingo, make some friends, do what you need to do, get some friends, get a life of your own. It is okay to be alone. It is also okay to date when you're young and when you're old. Yeah. It's okay to get out and separate that a little bit. Like, I'm all for a mama's boy. I think mama's boys are great. I mean, little biased because my son is a mama's boy and I love him so much. But, like, I also know that my son could come and live with me and be fine. But my son can also go outside and live without me and be fine.
Well, yeah. And
that's
hold
the
on.
Ultimate goal.
Judy says there are some people who need to be needed. Yeah, I get that. Like, and again, this was what Debbie felt too. She felt like, well, if he grows up and finds someone, he's gonna leave me. And I think some of the way that she's treating Joan is coming across to me as she has a fear of being abandoned, which makes me think back to what happened with Greg's dad. Did he leave for another woman? She has this abandonment issue because she's like, she's almost jealous of Joan, which is crazy because if
you look at the 90 Day World, this isn't the first one. Like, Clayton's mom lived in a closet, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of mama's boys that have some kind of history there. And typically, it's because they have an only son. Clayton had a sister, but they're the only child. And that relationship, when the dad's gone, I understand it being hard to separate. Because like I said, when you only have one kid, that is the last person in the world that loves you more than anything in the world and needs you more than anything in the world. So I can understand the separation issue. And I'm all for letting your kids live with you if they're still in school, if they're, you know, whatever they're needing to do while they're getting on their feet, in their 20s even, up in their 20s, late 20s. But I'm sorry, once you get over 25, it's time to start, you know, really pushing the issue that it's time to go. You've graduated college, it's time to go.
Yeah, I think, well, hold on. Gina says they're both looking for a maid for him. I feel that way because she was like, oh, you should be picking up after him and doing. And I'm like, that's not what a wife or girlfriend or fiance is. You're not looking for somebody to clean up after you. A relationship is a partnership between the two of you. And some people go out and work. That's part of their partnership. Some people clean the house. That's part of their partnership. But it's not you laying around the house and she cleaning up after you. That's not a relationship. That's not a partnership. And it's confusing to me because Joan is in, she's educated.
Yeah,
she has a good head on her shoulders. She's beautiful. And it doesn't look like she's here to steal money or gold dig or get there. Because let's be real, she didn't come here to get anything that she couldn't get for herself. She was actually doing better living on her own where she was. So I'm really confused as to why she's with Greg in general.
She wanted to come to the United States. She is well educated, and that's something that we can't look the other way on. She's well educated and she knows she's gonna do good here. She just had to get here. She doesn't like dogs. Like, is she even a real human?
Who doesn't like dogs? And I've been learning on X and Twitter tonight that it's a very cultural thing in certain countries overseas where they dislike dogs. And then certain countries dislike cats. They consider them, what we were learning with Maddie tonight, they consider them dirty and infectious with disease.
Man, I'd like to bring Maddie over to my house. He would have a whole come apart.
I can't imagine a world where people dislike animals, right? Like, sometimes animals are way more accepting and loving than people. So, like, the idea that you don't like an animal, because she's like, oh, this dog is near me, and I can't believe these dogs. And it's like, that's sometimes how I feel with people. If people get too close to me, I'm like, oh, these people. You know, like, you have to back up. Absolutely. So it's weird to see that with an animal. I would let an animal near me at any moment of the day. I love animals. It's people that irritate me.
And
so
also, it's a little dog. So, like, the worst it's going to do is bark. Like, it's not even going to jump on you and knock you over. It's just cultural or not.
None of the animals tonight showed any aggression either. Because I know there are people, like, I know mail carriers, FedEx drivers, they have a dislike for aggressive animals.
Yeah.
Because none of these animals, like the cat walks up to him and wants to jump on him. You know, cats are very temperamental. Like, they don't like strangers. So if the animal is showing that type of love towards you that quickly, you know, what's there to dislike? right? Yeah. Like, there's animals that takes, I've known people for years, and I'll go to their house and their animal wants to kill me. Because Absolutely. They just don't like me, and once an animal decides they don't like you, they're never gonna like you. They're not gonna change their mind. So these are non-aggressive, loving animals, and people are like, I can deal with a lot, but I can't deal with animals. And I was like, what type of monster do you have to be to have that type of aggression and hate towards animals? Hey, Kim. Hey, bestie.
Hi, Kim. Yeah, like, if you don't love cats, I'm not even gonna say the absurd number of cats that I have, because it's out of control. But I adopt in pairs, just know that. So I never have an odd number of cats, but I don't know. I realize it's a cultural thing for dogs, for cats, for, like, it would be weird for me to go to India and have a cow walking down the road. That's weird.
Yeah.
But I would embrace it, and I would probably have a cow. Like,
well, yeah. I mean, I don't understand. Wait, Kara is the crazy cat lady.
That no. is an understatement of the year.
She's not crazy. She's loving cat lady. Well, if you try to hurt one of the cats, you'll meet a version of Kara that you probably don't want to get to know. But as long as you're a decent person who takes care of animals and don't hit people or don't do anything wrong, you won't have any issues with Kara at all. Oh, wait. My Judy cats, said, I was terrorized by a cat as a child, and I can't go in a house that has a cat. Too much trauma.
See, and I understand that. I understand trauma. Trauma's different than just not liking animals. Yeah. If you have a reason behind not liking them, if I was bit by a dog and I didn't like dogs, that's because I'm traumatized from something that happened to me. That is very different than just being, oh my God, your cat rubbed up against me. That's horrible. That's disgusting. I have to go take a shower.
Lord. Okay, wait. We met Sean and Aaliyah again tonight. So I want to get into that. So Sean lives in the Hollywood Hills, and I was very impressed with his house and his memorabilia. And, you know, we've always talked about what was making this couple stick together. And
I was more impressed with how he looked 20 years ago.
He looks young now.
He does.
So, because he's 63 years old, right? And, you know, we have people that are in the 90 Day Universe, like Mark, for instance, who's on this season, who's only 54, who could pass for 74.
Yeah.
So when you see Sean and you see how he looks, and then when we met him and his ex-wife in the photos before, I was like, geez, this man doesn't age. And if he does,
it's I cannot unsee the Burger King guy now. That's all I see when I see him now. When I see pictures of him before, I'm like, before he had whatever work done that he's had done, like, he was a good-looking man. I'm not saying he's an ugly man now, but all I see is the Burger King guy.
He does look a lot like, well, Gina says plastic surgery. Shelly says plastic surgery. Gina says Botox. Yeah, there's probably work in there. He's a celebrity.
There's a lot of work in there.
So there's work in there, too. You're right. Without any of that, he would probably look like Mark, actually, without all the Botox and work. Mark definitely looks older than 54, though. You know, like, he's definitely, but they say being a pilot, it's a very stressful career, you know, because every time you take off, there's risks involved. That it's not like being a bus driver or being a mail carrier. There's literally life and death risks that you're facing every day, so that can age you.
Yeah.
But I wanted to talk about the memorabilia that he has, because, you know, I've always speculated, I don't know Aaliyah, but I've always speculated that she picked a really wealthy guy who has a beautiful house in the Hollywood Hills, who also has an apartment in New York. You know, she didn't pick a broke guy. So when I'm seeing all of the things he's invested his money in, and, you know, remember last time they were on Love in Paradise, there was talk of a prenuptial agreement. You remember that? And Aaliyah was 100% against the prenuptial agreement. Now that we see what he would be protecting, how do you feel about her not wanting a prenup? Do you feel like that's something that, you know, as a woman, she just doesn't want to feel like there's a prenup? Or do you think that she knows that there's a piece of the pie later that she wants a piece of?
He literally said tonight, this is my dress worn by Barbara Streisand. At least when I spend my money and I buy dumb things, at least when I die, my kids are going to know that this sold for $1 million. So he immediately went to my kids and not my wife.
And not her. Right.
So
So, but
she's already trying to get ahead of the kids at 25.
Well, he is the one that thought a prenup would be, well, it was one of his close friends actually that brought it up, but he agreed. He was like, well, yeah, you're right. We should definitely protect. He has a lot to protect. First of all, he has a house in the Hollywood Hills. You know, if you're not Tom Cruise, it's very impressive that you're living in the Hollywood Hills. So he has made a very good life for himself, because even there's a lot of people who work and live in LA, but they don't live in the Hollywood Hills.
And his house was built by Charlie Chaplin. Like, come on.
Allegedly, yeah, built by Charlie Chaplin, which I'm very, like I said, I'm super impressed with what he's accomplished. Also, so he said he met his ex-wife for 14 years in beauty school. So I had some tweets out earlier, and I was like, so wait, was there no speculation or skepticism? Because he was like, oh, after I divorced my wife, I went on a gay dating app. And I was like, but you didn't just become gay right after y'all got divorced. So right. My question is, when did it happen? Because to stay married for 14 years and have three kids, when did it happen in between? Or was it always something
sure it was probably always there. You know, it's funny because, and this is such a dumb reference, but I'm going to use it anyway. I listen to a lot of Harvey Levin, a lot of his podcasts, a lot of it. I love Harvey Levin. And just, he was talking about being gay one day. And he said that he dated women for a long time, a lot of years, because being gay wasn't okay. As we all know, that it's not new that it wasn't okay. But now that it's so widely accepted, it's so much easier for people to be out. But he probably grew up being in his 60s. I would assume that he grew up in the kind of family where it's, you know, you marry a woman, you have your kids, this is the life you have, because that's what we do. So when he divorced his wife and it was more accepted, it probably made it just a lot easier. He accomplished his mission. He got to have his kids. Yeah. He got to have what he needed. And now he's out living his best life. So that's my opinion. I don't know that any of that's true, but that's my opinion.
I mean, I think you're right, because, well, when they were showing the pictures of him and his wife when they were younger, I was skeptical, you know, but when you work in the entertainment industry, because one thing I learned when I started going out to LA is you can't just think that you can tell someone's sexuality based on what they look like, because when you go to LA, you'll meet a guy and that person will look like they are gay, and then you'll meet their wife and kids. And so it's not like where I grew up in the Deep South, if someone was gay, you could tell right away.
Absolutely.
But like, it's very, very fluid out there in the hills, right? Like, you don't know what, unless someone tells you their orientation, you don't know.
Right.
Because I was looking at the photos nowadays, and I was like,
nowadays, there's a lot of transgender people and you can't tell. Unless it's someone like Nikki Exotica, she's very obvious. But like, there's a lot of trans people that you just can't tell.
It's really interesting though, because there was a tweet that someone put out. They were like, imagine being married to a woman for 14 years, you divorce her so you can finally be your true self, and then the man that you find is now a woman.
Yeah, that would like, be that horrible.
Has to be, honestly. Right? It's like a whirlwind tornado of because he spent 14 years with a woman, which I'm pretty sure he probably would have rather been with a man. But like you said, at the time that he grew up, especially, and also for his job as well, because being a stylist now, like it's almost a given that celebrity stylists is usually gay men, and the celebrities are absolutely loving and supporting. They're like best friends with their gay stylists. But back then, you know, look at Luther Vandross. He never even told anyone when he was alive what his sexual orientation was, because he was afraid of how it will affect his career. So I can only imagine he finally becomes himself. He finds a man that he loves, and then the man that he loves transitions into a woman. He's kind of back at square one.
And he's kind of blaming himself for it. You know, I mean, did you catch that where he's like, and then there was a pride parade and I was like, do you want to dress up? And he was like, oh, I've never really got to do that. So we bought wigs and outfits, and then all of a sudden Aaliyah was born. So he's kind of blaming himself for it a little bit.
You can't blame the seed was there.
Yeah.
He watered the seed, right? Like, you can't take a blame. Douglas was gonna be Aaliyah at any point. It was good. That seed was gonna be watered either by Douglas himself or by some, it doesn't matter who watered the seed, it was going to grow. And, you know, so I don't like that he tries to say, oh, well, if I would have never said that, because I don't feel that that's true, because Aaliyah made it very clear when she was a little boy, she always identified with girls, feminism, dresses, doll. It was always there. That's why it's funny when people are like, oh, well, people just choose. They don't choose. No. Can you imagine a 3 or 4 year old choosing their gender or sexuality when they don't even know what either of those are?
No.
That's something that people know their whole life. Yeah. And Aaliyah made that very clear. She was like, I always related to women and feminism and dresses and dolls and that part of it. So no, I don't think that Sean had anything to do with that. That's just who she always was.
Right.
And he helped her awaken that part of her. So yeah, he helped her come out of that shell.
What I think is very sad is I don't think that there. I think he loves her. I think Sean loves her, but I don't think the feeling is mutual. To be perfectly honest, I think that you hear celebrity hairstylist, you hear Hollywood Hills, you see dollar signs, and all you can think is, this is my golden ticket. This person is going to help me transition. They're going to pay for my surgeries. They're going to pay for my home. They're going to get me into Hollywood. They're going to get me into California, like all the things. And I'm going to meet movie stars, and that's going to be my big break because I'm 25 and he's in his 60s. So that's my big break. I just don't. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't think the love is mutual.
I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. I think that she nailed, what do you call it? When you nag a sucker, she nagged a sucker. She bagged a sucker. She got him. And she knows what she wants. And look at Yara.
Yeah.
As beautiful as Yara is, all she ever wanted to do was move to LA. Mm-hmm. And she still didn't make it to LA. She made it to Miami.
Yeah.
But she had to come to Louisiana first. Right. You know, so it's like Aaliyah bought a scratch-off ticket and won the jackpot on the scratch-off ticket. She's literally getting everything. Because when you think of getting a green card and getting someone to give you a better life, Aaliyah won the jackpot in every aspect.
Absolutely.
She's getting a green card. She's moving into the Hollywood Hills. She's going to be around celebrities. That he's got more money than he knows what to do with. And he's much older. Yeah. So when she's in her 30s, God forbid, he might not be here anymore. So it's like she's won every aspect of the jackpot. And I feel sorry for him. Well, not sorry, but I feel bad because I feel like you said, he really does love her.
Yeah.
And I think she's just in it because the situation is too good to not be in.
Yeah.
Right? And that's kind of like how the Mina situation is. The situation is just too good to not be in. Like, right. She's in New Hampshire, and she had a baby by this guy that we found out he met her at a strip club. And it's just, he's a pilot, and he's owns his own home. He owns his own business. You know, it's just, the situation is too good to be in because she's trying to find happiness in his life. And I was like, well, you picked this guy. You knew that he was a boring older man who works all the time, then goes home and doesn't do anything. Like, you knew what you were getting into. You can't be mad that he's the guy that you picked. You could have easily picked a fun, interesting guy, but he wouldn't be able to give you a big house. He wasn't a pilot, and he wasn't going to be rich. You didn't want the fun guy. You wanted the older pilot guy who was going to take care of you. So you got to have to be happy with your choice.
I cannot stand her. And it kills me because I tried to really like her, but I cannot stand her. But their baby's so cute. I just hope they don't have any more.
Well, that's her goal. Her goal is to have more. The baby is very cute. And Jordan, who is Mark's daughter, she can see right through what's happening. And there's usually one family member, and Megan is that person for Juan and Jessica. There's one family member, right?
I love Megan. Yes,
Megan has gotten the truth. We're going to be talking about that because it's been years that we've been trying to figure out what Juan was doing on that cruise ship. And she finally wore him down. We're going to get to that. But Jordan is the one that sees right through it. She's like, oh, you're having kids with my dad. And you just met him. Y'all met at a strip club. I can see what's happening.
So she,
right? I know
she hasn't even met with Jordan yet and has already called her a snake like 8 times. So
because Jordan is the only person I think standing in the way of the money. Jordan is pushing for the prenup.
You already know she's on to you if you're already calling her a snake.
Jordan has no doubt in her mind that this woman is after the dad's money. And if y'all don't know, so Mark's company, there's 3 employees. It's Mark as the pilot, and his daughter Jordan and his son are the salespeople. So the company is literally a family business. So every ounce of money that they've made together. That's why Jordan has such a close stake in the business and in her dad's wealth, because they literally work together. When he's flying people around, she's the person booking these flights. They literally work in this tiny family business. And she looks at it as this stripper, right, is coming into our business and she's going to get everything. Yeah. After we literally went in and worked 8-hour days building this from nothing, she's going to come in and take everything, and she can see right through it.
Yep. And now there's a baby involved. So it's like,
she's trying to make it too. She's trying to make it too.
Yep. She's got to feel like her dad is so trapped.
Her dad is so naive. Oh wait. So Christine says, if someone gets mad over signing a prenup, there's something very, very wrong. The person should run away from that. See, I've had this conversation on the podcast before, and I've heard different perspectives. Like, one of my co-hosts was like, yeah, I think that prenups are necessary, but I get the side of people who don't want to sign them. Because we've talked about it with the K-1 visa process. When you come over here, you're coming over here with no friends, no family, sometimes no usable work skills, depending on what country that you come from. You might not be able to find work very easy. So the prenup is a way to guarantee that you don't end up living on the street. For some people, they see it that way.
I'm so back and forth on it. I'm the one that says, you know, in certain circumstances, absolutely. Absolutely. Like Bilal and Shahida, the way he was pushing for a prenup, she didn't come across to me as a gold digger at all. So I didn't think that... Me personally, I didn't think that one was necessary. But I also don't know their whole relationship. But I just didn't see it.
Bilal, that's a hard one, because he went over to Trinidad and he was living a very lavish, because Shahida made it clear. She was like, he would come over. He was buying everyone's drinks. He stayed in the nicest cabanas. He was eating the most expensive food. He made it seem like this lifestyle that he lived was insanely lavish. Mm-hmm. But then when they decided to get married, he was like, I have to make sure she understands that I'm not rich and I'm not going to be giving her a crazy, ridiculous, lavish lifestyle.
In a piece of shit van, takes her to a shack. Like, he pulled all the tricks, got her reaction, and then still pushed for the... I mean, I'm not saying that you shouldn't get a prenup. I'm saying the ones that don't want to sign have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Unless it's a situation where someone is giving up everything. Now, Jasmine and Gino, totally different. I don't think Jasmine should have ever had... I think Gino should have done a prenup no matter what, because we knew she was a gold digging whore from the beginning. She left her kids, blah, blah, blah. I have so many opinions on that. But then there's real people like Greg and Joan. Joan is well educated. Yes, she wanted to get here, but you don't see him asking for a prenup because he's got nothing to lose, literally.
Well, yeah.
You know? So as far as Mark and Mina go, Mark has planes and a business and children and all kinds of things. Yeah, I absolutely think that there should be a prenup there. Now, I think that people should do a prenup. I just think they should. In most circumstances.
I believe it's easier to have a prenup than... Because I've heard of so many ugly divorces where it gets so bad and so nasty when you're trying to fight over... It's easier to agree on things when you don't hate each other.
Yep.
So when you're signing the prenups, you're still happy. Yeah. There's still bliss. There's still love. When you're fighting in court for the divorce, there's nothing but anger and hate, and it's harder for you to agree. So I think if you want to have a less tumultuous divorce, I know you don't even want to have a divorce, but just think,
right,
if that was going to happen and you don't want to have such a nasty, mean, drawn out, because if you have kids, you have to remember there's other people involved in your divorce. So if you have kids, those children have to watch you hating each other and doing horrible things and trying to hurt each other. So I think a prenup is there to give a more smooth process to a horrible situation.
Yeah.
And where there's kids involved, it's not a good look to watch their parents doing horrible, nasty, mean things to each other. Because even as an adult, it doesn't make you feel good to see your parents treating each other that way. Right. You know?
I mean, okay, so Mark and Mina, for example, Mark's got a ton of shit. She doesn't have anything other than his kid. So she's got leverage already. So he needs to bust out a prenup yesterday.
Yeah. And he shouldn't be having more kids unless he wants to. Yeah. I feel like she's dictating what's going on, and I think there's an ulterior motive. She wants two kids, child support is more than one, right?
Yep.
Like, I think that she looks at it as, well, I don't like New Hampshire. I don't barely like Mark. But if I got two of his kids, yeah, I can live anywhere because he's got to pay me spousal and child support times two. Like, I think, does she want another kid? The jury's still out. I don't know. No. It seems like she really loves Maria, right? I don't see her as a neglectful parent, but I think sometimes
she got another kid in another country. Like, we can't forget that. So,
but that dad doesn't have enough money to give her the life
but that's
that
what
she
I'm
wants.
Saying. You've got another kid. Focus on getting that kid with you before you're focusing on pumping out another one.
Yeah, Jasmine
just
too.
Like
yeah,
Jasmine.
I think that you, because it's funny because we talked about that the other week where men used to be known for giving up on a family and starting a new one. Women are doing it too now.
It's
like, I love that we've dropped the double standard. Women are doing it too. They're like, well, I tried having a family with this guy, didn't work out. I'm just going to make a new one. Right?
I cannot imagine, even as an adult, my son will be 30 next month. My daughter is 23. I cannot imagine leaving the country without my children, even as adults. There's just no way to help. No way.
But I get it for adults, but like when the child is still a child,
That's what I'm saying. As my kids are adults, I can't imagine moving out of the country now with them being adults because I would miss them terribly.
Yeah.
But I could still make that decision based on how I raised them. Would they be okay if I left the country? Yes, they would. But if my kids were under 18, there is not a chance in hell I would even visit another country without my children.
I agree. I'm not a doctor, but
what happens if what happens if war breaks out or anything that prevents you from reuniting with your kids? There could be anything that could happen. Like,
or
you just don't do that.
What if something happens to your child and you can't get to
Absolutely.
Them? Like, there's just a lot for me. And I'm not a doctor, but I guarantee you a child whose brains are still in the process of developing and understanding and processing feelings and thoughts. Can you imagine, because this boy Clayton is 9 years old. What do you think is going through a nine-year-old's head when their mother leaves the country permanently and leaves them there? And
with your new baby sister.
I don't even want to know the emotional damage that can leave on a nine-year-old child. Right? So he's going to grow up with the worst case of abandonment trauma that you can give anyone. There's adults who have abandonment trauma, but imagine a nine-year-old trying to go to school, trying to learn things about life, but also dealing with abandonment issues at such a young age.
It's so sad to me. So sad.
I can't stand her. Like I'm going to be real. Like, I don't like her. She's a Wednesday morning stripper at best. Like, I don't understand why Mark is risking it all for this woman. I get love is love, but risking everything for this person who the whole time that she's been in New Hampshire, she hasn't done anything but complain about
literally
everything. Nothing has made her happy.
Yep.
Right? But that's kind of how Jasmine was with Gino. The moment she got here, she just complained about everything. And I question why men want to be in such ridiculous relationships, right? Like, no matter what you do, say, buy, cook, whatever you do, it's never enough. And it's like,
because
how long
they're
do you wanna...
rich and they're old, and these women are young and beautiful. They're bitches and whores, but they're young and beautiful and showed a slight little interest. Like, you've already put the time and effort into filing the paperwork and everything. You might as well keep her around. Hope you have sex once in a great while. Like, it's sad.
I don't ever want to be at that stage in life where I'm just, I accept that type of treatment and behavior.
I will not,
it's like,
not let that happen to you. Come please. I will not.
No, no. And you said they were hot. Mina's okay.
Well, maybe to him, she's hot.
Like, I've seen hotter. Like, for instance, Amani, hot.
Yeah.
Annie, hot.
Yeah.
Mina, okay. Like, I'm not risking it all for her. Right? Yeah. Like, her wigs are kind of giving me Sophie vibe wigs.
They're right? awful.
They're awful. Like the cheaper wigs. It's like, if you're gonna be a gold digging whore, you need to be wearing like the $3,000 wig, because you need you gotta dress the part.
Yep.
And I don't feel like she dresses the part. And then she slept in her wig on this episode. Then she woke up. And then when he invited the friends over, she didn't even use the hair straightener on the wig. The wig still looked like she just got off of an airplane that didn't have a roof. Like,
just
it was just
it out of the suitcase.
Yeah. I was like, what are you doing? Like, at least if you're gonna be the gold digger, dress the part and look the part, at least make me feel like I'm getting my money's worth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shelly, Annie is the thruple. So it's Matt, Amani, and Annie. Annie is the one that is from Tijuana. And she is the stripper that they are pursuing in Mexico to move in with their family. So, I mean, we can jump into that. So we saw them meet up with Annie tonight, and I thought what was really interesting was they didn't recognize her. And I was like, well, you know, you don't know the person well enough if you drive all the way to Mexico to see them and they're standing 10 feet away and you're like, is that her?
Yeah.
You probably aren't ready to move them in with your family yet, because you can't pick them out of a lineup. You probably don't know them well enough to be doing what you're doing. So a lot of people are wondering, they're like, so what's the real situation with this? Is she just a stripper that they, because I'm assuming they frequent Tijuana. Yeah. And they like it there, because, you know, there's a lot of debauchery going on in Tijuana. There are things that go on in those strip clubs that we don't allow to go on in the U.S. So I'm assuming this is just a girl that they brought up to the champagne room a few times and they like her. And they're just rolling with it. Oh, I thought Annie was
100% what I think.
Right? Because when they didn't recognize her, I was like, if you're trying to marry her and move her in with your kids, if there's 10 people in a crowd, you're going to be able to pick out the one you're trying to move in with your family.
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's good lighting or not. You're going to be able to pick out the one that you're trying to move into your house.
Yep. You better be able to.
Oh.
You better be able to pick her out in the pitch black dark.
This whole storyline, I think, is BS. Like, I'm not even 100% sure. So we found out, actually, a couple months ago. So Liz, who is a friend of the podcast that me and Shibuti does, and she told us that months ago, might have been over a year ago, Matt found out where she was working at Encontro. We all did, right? We knew she was working at Encontro, and he found her at Encontro and asked her questions and picked her brain about, you know, the show. And he's like, well, if we were thinking of doing the show, you know, what advice do you have? And now, lo and behold, Matt is on the show. And then the picture where him and Liz took a picture at Encontro together is now resurfacing. So how do you feel about that? Do you feel like this is an actual storyline, or do you think that he was doing his homework to come up with a way to get on TV?
We knew it was bullshit from the jump. They were already on that other show, How to Make Money on Reality TV or whatever the hell it was. And they dipped out because it wasn't going the way they want. You can tell by their body language and their ITMs when they're talking. You can totally tell that it's fake. He's so over the top, leaning into her, staring at her, and she's off to the side. Like, it is so staged. And then seeing them on TMZ without her, like, this is such a bullshit storyline. I agree with this one.
And I wanted to bring up, I saw online that the house that they were filming in this really beautiful house in San Diego on the hill. That house is available for rent for $1,300 a night. So I'm assuming that they were using it as an Airbnb during filming, or I'm not saying that they don't own the house and they're renting it out or whatever, but I'm not buying it. Because even
either.
Sean, who has 35 years in the industry, he didn't live in a house that looked like that.
Yeah.
Right? He has a beautiful home. But you know, in California, the house that they showed that they were using, that's like a $15 million house.
Yep.
Okay. And if you live in a house like that and you live in San Diego right on the hill, I should have heard of something that you've done before.
Absolutely.
You know, if you have that much money to waste on one home. So I'm beginning to think that the whole storyline is BS. He met with Liz at Encontro to get, you know, like, what do you think I would need to do to get their attention so I could get casted? And they did exactly. They got a big ass Airbnb that we know that they can't afford. They're going to see a stripper in Tijuana. Like, it's outrageous enough that it got our attention. But now that we know enough about the story, we're all completely turned off by how stupid this is.
Yep, I agree. 1,000%. And mark my words, I've seen her somewhere else. I don't know where, I don't know what, but I will find it. I have seen
Wait,
her tonight. I've seen her somewhere. I don't know what it is, though. I can't tell you that I've seen her on this or whatever. I have seen her somewhere else. I just have to figure out where.
Amani? So you've seen her before. Interesting.
Somewhere, but I don't know. I can't. It's one of those where it clicked in my head today that I've seen her. I rewound it a specific spot to see it again. I saw it again, and I was like, I know her from somewhere. I just have to figure out where. I couldn't tell you right now, but I will figure it out.
Well, the one thing I love about this show is if there's something to be found, we're going to find it.
Absolutely.
If you're hiding something, it's like you're hiding it from the FBI.
Yep.
Because at some point, we're going to figure it out. Like, you know how you go to a theme park and they take a picture of your face? And if then you try to go again and somebody try to use the ticket, they know it's not you because they took a picture of your face. Like, that's how the 90 Day Fiancé rule is. It's like, you can't pull one on us.
Yes.
If you are acting or lying about something, we're going to figure it out. Yeah, Shelly, that's true. So yesterday, Kim was celebrating her birthday, and afterward, they went to a club. Well, Kim didn't, but the 90 Day Bad Boys did, who were at the dinner. And it seems that Matt and Amani met up with Jamal, Rob, and Josh last night. Did you see that?
No.
How convenient to meet up with some cast members, right? I think they're definitely in this for clout. And, you know, that's kind of how we met Tiger Lily, right? Tiger Lily came on this show for one reason and one reason only. She wants to be a reality star.
Yep.
You know, I'm not saying that her marriage is fake. I don't think her marriage is fake. But I think her life and everything that she portrayed on that show is a lie.
Absolutely.
I don't think that she's rich. I don't think she buys $30,000 watches. I don't think anything that she brought onto that show is true. And I'm getting that same vibe with Matt and Amani. I feel like they created a story to get enough followers to become social media influencers and do whatever their goal is. I don't think that they're bringing anything to this. I don't think that Annie is actually someone that they're really dating or pursuing. I think that she was a stripper who thought, well, I would like... First of all, if you approach someone and say, do you want to be on a TV show with us and pretend to be our girlfriend? And most people might say no, but if you're a stripper in Tijuana, I don't think that...
You're a stripper in Tijuana trying to make ends meet.
Yeah.
Yep.
100%. For your kids. Yeah. You're going to say, and all I have to do is pretend to be in a relationship with you,
yep.
And they're going to pay me the money, and then people will see me on TV. She saw no harm in it, and I think that this is all BS. When they didn't recognize her from 10 feet away, I was like, now I'm calling BS. You know, like, you're talking about divorcing each other to marry a person that you can't recognize.
Yeah.
I'm getting a BS storyline, and it's like, and then the house, everything just was adding in the wrong direction for me. Like, when we first met Tiger Lily and everything was going the wrong way, she's like,
I know,
I'm so rich.
There's 100 pictures of Tiger Lily and Adnan everywhere. And all, there's no baby and none of her kids, but she's just walking around wearing a bed sheet with a pillowcase on her head. Like, what the hell is happening?
And also, the latest picture she posted, Tiger Lily looks pregnant again. I don't know if you saw that.
I don't doubt that. The last one I saw, it looks like she's wearing a brown king sheet set with a pillowcase on her head.
Yeah.
It's not even
I saw it, and we zoomed in, and I was like, as skinny as she was, she looks pregnant because I can't explain what's going on down there because she didn't have a stomach.
Yeah.
So she looked pregnant. I was like, so he did say he wanted 5 kids.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what's going on, or maybe, you know, we know they're going to come back. It's fine. It's not fine. I don't want to see them.
Not fine. But
they're those couples like Sarper and Shekinah and Tiger Lily and Adnan. The only people that love them are the producers of the show.
Yeah.
We don't love them. Yeah. But for some reason, we can't get rid of them because the producers of the show are obsessed with them.
Yeah.
Wait, Shelly says she blocked me because on the tell-all, she was shaming them for having premarital sex. So I messaged her and said, have you ever had premarital sex? And she blocked me. Oh, well, I guess, Shelly, your answer is she has. Because why would she block you just for asking if she's ever had premarital sex? And again, she wasn't even Muslim until like a year ago. So like, why is she holding everybody to the Muslim standard of premarital sex?
She weren't even Muslim. She doesn't even know what Muslim means. She doesn't even know what it is. It's just a word he uses.
I am not a fan of them. And like tonight, I think I was really getting irritated with Amani and Matt's story when I started seeing like things that just were just stupidly wrong for me. And I was like,
yeah,
oh, this
me
is
too.
Funny.
I was getting pissed, actually. But also, now we're almost out of time, so I just have to say, everybody needs a Megan. I love me some Megan, but I'm so disappointed with the information from Juan.
Well, I was very surprised because I've followed their storyline for a long time. They invited me to the wedding. I couldn't go.
Yeah.
I was going to be at the wedding. I probably shouldn't have said that.
We were going to go.
Yeah, we were going to go. And so I was really shocked when he said that he did hook up with the girl on the cruise ship. I mean, obviously, he's here. They're married. They have kids. They've moved forward.
But you catch the cliffhanger part? Sounds like she did too.
Well, yeah, when Megan was like, well, the other guy was your ex-boyfriend, and he's like, what other guy, what other? So it kind of seems like that might be why it was so much easier for Jessica to move forward, because he cheated on her, and I think when she found out he cheated on her, she might have went in for consoling to her ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why, because a lot of people are like, well, why would you ever forgive a cheater? And it's like, maybe she had a lapse of judgment and she hooked up and she was like, you know what? We both made a horrible mistake. We have a baby on the way or whatever. We're going to move forward.
Yeah.
We're going to move past this. And that could be the thing. I was just really surprised, right? Because I always thought that Juan was a decent guy. Like, I know that he was a cruise ship playboy. I totally get that. And because we talked about this too, when you're a bartender, there's a certain level of flirting because you work for tips.
Yep.
So you're going to be extra nice to people, and that's part of the job. Like, if you work at a bar, you work at a like if you work as a waitress, you're extra nice to people because this is your livelihood and you want to make sure that people leave you a good tip. I didn't think that it was going that far, but apparently Juan was hooking up with, well, at least one time that we know of, with this girl on the cruise ship. So I don't know, does it tarnish how you feel about him at all, or how do you feel now?
Well, now I have to hear the rest of the story. I need to know if it was in the very beginning of the relationship. I need to know if they were engaged. Were they totally serious? Like, all I know is everybody needs a Megan.
Well, Megan pushed and pushed and pushed to get the truth. Sure. But I'm going to say Jessica knew this all along. I think Jessica might not have told Megan. Maybe she was embarrassed. Yeah. Maybe she didn't want the stigma of her friends knowing that she stayed with a guy who cheated, or she
but
didn't want everybody
Megan,
at home to know.
When Megan said, I love her so much, I can't remember verbatim, but it was basically, I want to like you because I love her so much and I want to see her happy. And she started getting teary-eyed. And that is so sincere and so genuine. Like, if you can feel that's like me talking about my best friend. Just thinking about her makes me feel teary-eyed. So if you can truly love somebody that much, you really want the best for them. Now, do I think that Megan has had to put it on for TV a little more? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I still think everybody needs a Megan. Because she got on something, she needed a freaking answer. And she didn't let it go until she got it.
Yeah. You have to do that. Yep. Sometimes you really do. Because sometimes it's not about what the person does. It's about they need to take accountability.
Absolutely.
And it could be from Megan. She was like, I know that you're married to my friend and I know that y'all have a child together, but I need you to take accountability so I can move on.
That's so probably just forward. It. Jessica probably told her that it happened and she just wanted to hear it out of Juan's mouth. She just needed right. her piece.
Well, he lied to her at first. Yep. Let's just be real. He lied to her. He said nothing happened. And I think when, like you said, if Jessica was like, no, he did. And then it probably was more so, I need him to admit that he lied and so we can move on. Because yeah. I don't think that she cares that he cheated 2 years ago. I think it's more so that, you know, you're going to be with my best friend. We're going to be coexisting. I need you to not lie to my face.
Yeah.
That type of situation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's hard to trust somebody that's going to be a part of your life because they're very close. Megan and Jessica do a lot of things together. And Megan's husband, I'm sure, is close with Juan. It's just, it's easy to know that you don't have someone in your camp or circle that's a liar.
Right.
You know, like that's one thing that I really don't want is a yep. lying, sneaky cheat in my circle. Because yep. those are the only people I trust, you know?
Yeah, liars, cheaters, and thieves. If you're any of those, get the fuck out.
Please.
Yep.
Oh, so one more thing before we end. Stevie didn't tell her dad anything about Madi, which I'm really interested in this meeting because we met her dad on, I think, episode yep. one. And he's very, very, very passionate about America and our rights and our army and our military. And, you know,
but
people
wait,
who feel that way.
I guess I was trying to understand what she meant by she didn't tell her dad anything about him. She told him that he's from Iran. She told him that he's nervous and that he speaks English and that he's moving here. Like, there must be some.
I was assuming she meant, like, plans to get married.
Maybe she didn't tell her dad that he doesn't like cats.
Well, I mean,
that's a deal breaker
for me. I mean, yeah, the cat thing is a little ridiculous. He's yeah. like, oh, cats are dirty. And I'm like, sir, humans are dirtier than cats. Yeah. But like, let's just be real. You're way dirtier than that cat. So let's just yeah. be real. But I think that dad, in his meeting, they're going to build it up as something ridiculous. I don't think the dad is going to be as mean and crazy and offensive as they're building it up.
Yeah, I don't think.
But I do think he's going to have the general, are you going to make her wear a hijab? I think he calls it a jihad.
Yeah.
Are you going to try to change her life and you know, become, make her property? You know, those are the standard questions that you ask yeah. when someone yeah. is marrying a Muslim. But I also want to progress more into their story because he's never really said what his expectations are for her
yeah.
after they get married. And usually a Muslim man would have mentioned something about that by now.
Yeah.
So that's a little interesting too, because even Adnan at first, he was like, oh, Tiger Lily can be herself. And now she's walking around with shower curtains, like a curtain on her head. So it's like, yeah. usually you're going to get some kickback, you know, and him taking the stroll on what do you call it, Bourbon Street, and seeing Mardi Gras and all the craziness and debauchery, I'm just wondering, so when are you going to put your foot down and say what you expect from her? Because that's usually at some point before they get married, you see one or two signs of that controlling nature. And
yeah.
we haven't seen that yet. He's more so just been like walking through Disneyland.
Yeah.
Like everything is just like super crazy and exciting. So
yeah.
I'm waiting for him to start talking realistically.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know. I feel like she told him, I mean, she probably didn't tell him that they have 90 days, but she made it seem like it was something super specific about him personally. I didn't tell my dad. And then he said, well, I only have one chance to say it. And I feel like you should have told him already or something like that. So I don't know.
I don't know what it is. If it's a secret, then we don't know yet either.
Yeah.
And I have no idea. Maybe she's pregnant. But wait, when was the last time she said she saw him? When he got there, how many months did she say it was? I can't remember now.
I can't remember either.
Because it would have to be pretty quick. Because she couldn't, by the time he arrived, if she was already pregnant, it would have had to have been less than 9 months since she saw him last. But it could be that she's pregnant. I don't want to say that she is. She looks really thin. But,
right.
you know, she don't look pregnant to me during the filming, so yeah, I don't know. Or maybe it's something else, but we'll figure it out at some point. I don't know what would piss the dad off more. I thought just him being from Iran was enough to piss him off. So if there's something else.
She did say, first episode, that they had only spent 1 week total together.
Oh, so yeah, I don't think she's pregnant. I definitely don't think she's pregnant because she, if she was, oh, she said it would have been 8 months. Yeah, she would definitely look pregnant. She don't look pregnant to me. So it's not that. We'll figure out what's going on with that. Also, Sarper and Shekinah took the night off tonight.
Thank God. Was
very much appreciated. Thank you for that.
You finally did a good one.
It was nice. And then I didn't even notice they weren't there. And then when the preview for next week came and I saw them and I was like, what a pleasant gift to not have to deal with these morons today. I was like, thank you. Like when somebody just shows up to your house, right? I was like, it's like when someone shows up to your house and they bring a present and you didn't expect it. That's how I felt. I was like, well, thank you for that unsolicited present. I didn't even ask for it and you gave it to me. I appreciate it. I don't want to see them over them. So I was like, that's awesome. But they'll be back next week. So have we met everybody? I think someone said tonight that everyone has joined the season, right? So everyone is here.
Yep.
So what do you think? All the cast, do you have a favorite, a front runner? Do you have people that you're rooting for?
My favorite will always be Juan and Jessica. So that's a given.
Juan and Jessica are your front runners.
Yes, of course.
I think
I'm going to have to say aside from Juan and Jessica non-returning, I would have to say, I don't really think I got a front runner on that.
I watched the live
stream. Stevie and Maddie. I guess Stevie and Maddie are my, that's who I'm rooting for.
I like them.
Because I do.
I like Sean and Aaliyah. Not that I'm rooting for them per se. I don't think they're going to make it. Also, I want to comment real quick. Did you notice that we did a 3 months earlier? So we saw that it looked like Aaliyah left him at the altar. And then they did it 3 months early. They don't typically do that on the show. So that, and I, they could be all full of crap. You know, obviously they could have still gotten married. But I think they're my front runners because I feel like they're going to bring enough drama for me this season. I like them too. And I want them to work. I actually think that they make a good couple. Yeah. I do. I think that they'd have cute kids. But I don't know if they know enough about each other and if their cultures can mix enough. She's from Louisiana and, you know, I grew up there. They're not very culturally open, especially for different nationalities, especially he's coming from Iran. You know, Louisiana is a very judgmental place. No matter if you're not black or white, you know, and even sometimes being one of those is still also hard.
Right.
So I don't know how well he could implement into that type of environment. And then being from such a tiny part of Louisiana, because there are big cities in Louisiana, they don't live in a big one. You know, so there's not going to be a lot of diversity. You're not going to see a lot of people that look like you. So I just don't know how that's going to go. But they might make it, right? I feel like they might make it. We've seen stranger things have happened, right?
That's what I'm rooting for. That's what I got this season so far.
Well, Shelly, it's not that he can never go home. There's no law that says he can't go home, but if he does go home, he could be
shunned, treated
differently.
Yeah.
Shunned. Yeah, that's the right word, shunned. So yeah, he can go home even if things don't work out, but if people find out, like for instance, if he's back and people find out that he lived in America for any point in time, they might have an issue with that. But I would just say go back there and don't tell anybody, right? Like, I don't think that they're watching. Yeah, I don't think they're watching TLC in Iran. You know, so just go over there and don't tell anybody. Just don't mention it. If they ask where you were, say you were in the army.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you went to the army and now you're back. Right? I wouldn't say anything anyway. All right, guys. So we're going to wrap. We're going to come back tomorrow and we're going to talk some of The Last Resort. There's two more episodes of The Last Resort before the tell-all. And then we'll cover that. But we'll come back tomorrow. I forgot what I was going to say. But there's two more episodes before the three-part tell-all. And that the three-part tell-all is where Jasmine throws something at Rob and they're screaming. So that'll be fun. Yeah. And make sure you're following Kara on social media. I'm going to tag her in this video. It's at Kara Santa, at Kara D76. Make sure you follow me on all social media platforms at George Massey, georgemassey.com. Anywhere you get your podcast, type in The George Massey Show. Thanks for staying up with us. It's actually later, right? Because we lost an hour. So y'all stayed up real late with us. All right, guys. Yeah. Everybody have a wonderful night. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.